Welcome, everyone, and welcome to our NCAA playoff edition of Inside the Neuha. And a reminder that Inside the Neuha is brought to you by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. And for information on all their program offerings, go to bodybyboyle.com. Very pleased to have back with us, encore presentation, if you will, with Franklin Pierce head coach David Stockdale. David, since we talked, it was just a couple of weeks ago, you were getting ready for the postseason. And, well, that's been an eventful time since then. First of all, congratulations on being named the Coach of the Year in the Neuha for the second time in your career, and a number of other players that we'll talk about that received accolades. But the road, often when you get to the playoffs, it doesn't come easy. You entered against St. Michael's in the first round. Had a couple of pretty decisive wins there. Abigail Bros really stepping to the forefront with three assists in game one of the St. Mike series. You closed it out. You had a double shutout with Hurdle really finding her game and goal. She had two goals. Abigail Bros contributing two goals in the final game of the quarterfinals. 2-0 advantage. And then it was on to the semifinals. And, well, as we bring you in, that semifinal game, I always say when you get to the netherworld of overtime, or in this case, double overtime, it's what makes hockey unique and what makes coaches age a little bit quicker.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back on. That Stonehill game was a lot of fun. I thought our kids really played well in that game. And obviously you get into overtime and so often it's a shot off of an ankle or something that goes in, and it's just an goal, so you never take anything for granted. But our kids were really playing well in that game, and it's just, you're never comfortable, but I think there was definitely a real sense of belief that we were going to find a way to get it done, and fortunately we did. And obviously playing at home, too, and having that great atmosphere, and the place was packed. It's, never really seen it, that full of students, supporting us, and it was a really fun environment to play in. Our team was moving, they were playing really well. So I was cautiously confident, I guess I would say, in that game, and then Abby Bros, who you just mentioned, came through and scored a huge goal for us.
Yeah, Abby with the game winning goal in overtime and coming off a 5 points in the quarterfinals. She had the big semifinal. You trail 1-0 from early on, and ended up with the power play goal from Anderson to tie the game, and 106 combined shots in a double overtime. I mean, just an epic when games get to overtime like that, and they can just enter kind of a world of their own. And Jill Hurdle stepping up, 40 save performance from your netminder, and she was just recently named, not surprisingly, the goaltender of the year. Leading the Neuha in all the categories across the board. Also on the watch list for goaltender of the year nationally.
Yeah, both credit to both goalies in that game. Jill, can't say enough about her. I mean, she's amazing, and I'm really happy for her to finally get recognized to the level that she has this year, because it's been a long time coming for her. She's meant so much to our program and gives us a chance to win every single night. And she was definitely on her game in that, through the whole playoffs, but certainly in that double overtime game as well. And, Eve Stone at Stonehill, she stood on her head too. She made some unbelievable saves, and I think she made about 50 in a row before we scored on her. So, it was a great goaltending matchup both ways. And I mean, it was obviously I was excited to be a part of the game, but just to have been there as a fan, I'm sure it was really a really exciting, fun game to watch.
Absolutely. And survive in advance, so that is certainly the watchword as you get to March, and that's why they call it March Madness, Coach. You go to the championship game against St. A's. It was a rematch of the 2022 championship game from just a couple of years ago when you prevailed, 4 years ago, when you prevailed 1-0 in that game. And you had victories against St. A's over the course of the year. You had the upper hand in the series. But, of course, you get to one game in a championship game, and throw it out the window, as they say. And first period, you were able to get the lead with Bodine on the power play and was able to hang on with that 1-0 advantage. But certainly didn't come easy there. And That's why Hurdle was the most outstanding player of the tournament. A 41 save effort in the shutout there. She was outstanding on her game once again.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that was going to be an up and down kind of track meet type game. St. A's is a phenomenal team, especially offensively. You know, some great players there. Schneiderhan, of course, winning player of the year in our conference. You know, we had played them a couple weeks before, and I think she had a game where she put up like 15 shots on goal, like 10 stuff. Oh. So we knew we were going to have to be pretty aware of where she was, and we were going to have to play a strong game. And it was just, you know, we were going to give up shots and we were going to give up some opportunities. And that's where it's so great to have an elite goaltender kind of, you know, running the show behind everything. As you know, that when those mistakes happen and pucks get through, she's gonna clean that up for you. So we were able to play with a lot of confidence. We knew we were going to get opportunities on the offensive end as well, and we did. And St. A's goalie was phenomenal too. And, you know, it was funny. There were a lot of parallels between the game in 26 and the game in 22. I think in both games we ended up getting an early power play, both take the lead. And obviously in 22 we held on and won 1-0, and it was 1-0 in this game until the last 2 or 3 minutes. So they were very similar games. It was a really good hockey game. And, again, very, very fortunate that we were able to play at home and have a ton of crowd support and ultimately come out on top.
And on top you did. And you get to this time of year, and if you're still surviving and playing, David, at this time of year, goaltending, special teams are often key elements. You're certainly getting the goaltending. And just a word about the special teams. I mean, going back to game one on the St. Mike series, you hit 3 for 6 on the power play. You get big power play goals. Anderson, we mentioned, against Stonehill in the semifinal game. You got to feel good. You know, you get the power play goal to take the lead, have the advantage in the game, in the championship game. And also on the other side, on the PK, a lot of special teams time in that second period with the 1-0 lead. You had a couple of big penalty kills.
Yeah, I mean, you know as well as anybody over the years, if your special teams aren't going in the postseason, you're probably not playing very long. So, you know, we've been on a nice little run here. I mean, I think our power play was close to 50% in the new hot playoffs, and our penalty kill, I think, might have been 100% through the new hot playoffs. So we were clicking at the right time, and you know, our penalty kill has been pretty good all year long, and our power play has been, you know, a little up and down. But I feel like even when the pucks weren't going in, we were always creating opportunities. It was just a matter of staying the course and hoping that, you know, some more pucks would fall. And, you know, they started to fall at the right time, fortunately. But again, it's a product of, you know, just the whole year's worth of work. And, you know, some games it goes your way, some games it doesn't. But you just kind of, you know, stay process-oriented and focus on what we do. And the kids understand our power play and the looks that we're trying to get very, very well. And, you know, again, at this point, you know, it's just nice to have some pucks go in the net for us. And hopefully that can continue here this week.
No doubt, as you get ready for the NCAA. And the championship game, not decided. And not surprisingly, until Cornetta was able to spring Bros there to give you some breathing room to get the game to 2-0. I mean, you know, it's just so precarious. Playoff game, I always say 2-goal lead, you're one shot away from a 1-goal game, but in this case it was a 1-0 game for so long, and it was always a one shot game for you. I mean, that's some added pressure that your team was able to process, handle, and come out on the other end successfully.
Yeah, I mean, we're a young group, especially up front, but you know, our defense is a little bit older, and obviously Jill being a senior back there, you know, she provides, as I was saying, just a ton of belief for our team. We can play free and understand that, you know, if we make a mistake here or there, like she's going to bail us out more often than not. So, you know, we're able to just kind of go out, be loose and play and, you know, have a good time and, you know, just try to have some fun with it and not take it too seriously. Not that we're not taking it seriously, but not to the extent that the pressure is weighing us down. You know, we're able to keep pushing forward, and we know that we've got a goalie back there that's gonna give us chances to go out and you know, take some chances to be able to create offensively and win those type games, rather than just kind of have to pack it in and you know, play to protect the lead or play not to give up another goal. forward, and it's been, you know, it's been a pretty good recipe for us this year.
Absolutely. It's like they say in the NFL, when you go to a prevent, sometimes it prevents you from winning.
Yeah, exactly.
you lose your aggressiveness in that situation. It's certainly true to hockey, too, if you get to be too much in the shell. And as a result, accolades, well, let's talk about accolades for the tournament first. And not surprisingly, Jill Hurdle, she garners the most outstanding player, the MOP, but also on the all-tournament team. Bros, for her exemplary work, Kaylee Murphy, and also with Maggie Cornetta. And then kudos for the season. Hurdle, aforementioned goaltender of the year, the rookie of the year. And just to comment on some of these players that have come up so big for you over the course of the year, being rewarded. For example, you had the Addison Andre, one of the Minnesota natives on the team, for her season, 25-point season for you, plus 16. She was named the rookie of the year. She would turn out to be a big impact addition for you.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great freshman class this year. We had lots and lots of contributors, but obviously Addison had a tremendous year. Right from early in the season, we found some chemistry with her and Rose and Kaylee Murphy, and Murph had an amazing season. Ended up as our second team all conference forward, led our team in scoring as a sophomore this year, so she was great. Addison had the year that she had, was rookie of the year, made the all rookie team, and Bros, you know, she had a huge postseason. She had a really strong regular season too, but you know, she's playing center on that line, handling, you know, some of the defensive responsibilities, winning a lot of faceoffs, doing some of that work for us too, that kind of goes unnoticed sometimes. And you know, she very well could have been on the all-rookie team, you know, but we have a rule that you're only allowed to have two per school. So I felt this was a year where, you know, we had three or four that could have been there, could have made a case, and she certainly was one of them. But yeah, she was great. Maggie Cornetta, first-team all-conference defenseman.
Yes.
You know, just a really elite defenseman and a great puck mover for us. She's great on special teams as well. Trying to think who else. I don't want to leave anyone out. Mel Targis, the all-rookie team.
Another all-rookie selection.
Had a great season as well. She's just a real shutdown defenseman as a freshman. You know, she's big. She's strong. She can carry the puck. She can run the power play. Can do a little bit of everything. You know, and with Cornetta being a grad student and moving out of the program, like, it's nice to know you got a player like Mel that is going to be able to step in and fill those shoes at least a little bit. So, I mean, the future with our program is really bright. The freshmen and sophomores, you know, statistically, we're a lot of the leaders on our team this year. That we've got a real nice mix of some juniors and seniors this year that, you know, obviously have been a big part of our team and the success that we've had as well.
Yeah, great on the recruiting end. Targos comes in, Little Caesars, obviously well-known program out of Michigan. Andre coming from hockey country in Minnesota. You've had success there. Kaylee Murphy was all second team that led your team in points and plus minus. She led the league in plus minus. Also wanted to mention her. She's a New York native, sophomore.
Yep. Yeah, the recruiting piece is such an important part of what we do. It's such a time-consuming piece of what we do. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you gotta have talented players, but you gotta have a good mix of human beings as well. You know, and so there's that fine line that you're looking for. You know, kids with obviously tangible talent that they can bring to the program, but also people that are gonna fit your culture and be part of a hopefully a competitive winning environment and building that out as well. So we've been, you know, it's been challenging in some senses with the transfer portal era. It feels like perpetually a young team. You know, we've had amazing players come into this program and believe in what we're doing and buy into what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, it feels really good to kind of have it all come to a head this year and turn into a championship for us.
Absolutely. And also not to overlook, junior defenseman Ashley Wright was for the all-sportsmanship selection. She had a very good year for you, and that certainly is a feather in the cap of the program.
Yeah, was very proud of her for getting that honor. She's she's one of those kids that just, she shows up every single day, year, and I think a lot of people might not have made it through the season. And she's just tough as nails, and you know, one of those kids that will do anything to try and get out there and help the team. And really, kind of a heart and soul, kind of team first sort of player, and really good hockey player too, which is great.
Next up is Quinnipiac in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. You're in Madtown. You're in March Madness. You're in Madtown. You're in Madison, Wisconsin. We were just talking before we began the interview. What a great college town. Good, a great hockey town. Great hockey environment that you'll have out there. They were 7 in the NPI, 28-8-3, 14-6-2. They finished third, but just a point off the pace in the ultra-competitive ECAC. You get them 8 o'clock Eastern time in Madison in the opening round of the tournament Thursday, with an opportunity to advance. The bye team and the host team is the Wisconsin Badgers, Mark Johnson's team, the number 2 seed overall in the tournament. So, Dave, as we wrap up here, what do you know about Quinnipiac, and what are your thoughts getting ready for the Ravens to face the Bobcats?
Well, I mean, they're obviously a heck of a team. They've had a great season. They've got a lot of great players, and they're strong at both ends. I mean, they've got a really elite goaltender, and they've got a player that scored 42 goals. So we don't see a whole lot of them anywhere in the NCAA. So that's going to certainly be a big challenge for us to try and contain her and their offense. And certainly, you know, for us to try to pop in some goals is going to be a challenge with the players they have defensively. But, you know, I don't think there's any question. We are what we are. We are an underdog coming into this thing, but you know, sometimes underdogs win, and so we have a lot of belief in our program and our kids, and, you know, we're going to come out there and lay it on the line and play as hard as we can, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. The girl you were referring to, Kaylin LaMarche, 42 goals, 18 assists. She had a 60-point season and was plus 38, and their netminder, Felicia Frank, with 26 wins, 1.54 goals against, 9.41 save percentage. So, Quinnipiac program, they've been an up-and-coming program in the ECAC, and playing with the competition of the Ivy Leagues there, they've certainly been a challenge. So great challenge for you and the Ravens. And Dave, once again, congratulations on everything up until this point here in the season, and it was great to have you back. And just best of luck to you and the Ravens as you get ready for the Bobcats on Thursday, and look forward to talking to you more here in the future.
All right, Bernie, thanks so much.
David Stockdale, our guest, the head coach, Franklin Pierce Ravens, coach of the year in the Neuha, here on this week's edition of Inside the Neuha. Inside the Neuha is presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For information on their 2026 offerings, you can go to their website, bodybyboyle.com.